Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
This is In This League Overtime. Some of the best from Chris Welsh and Scott Bogman on the In This League Podcast Network and FNTSY. Now, it's time for OT.
What's going on? Chris Welsh, Scott Bogman, the ambiguously fun duo. Can we do that? The ambiguously fun duo. Welcome in, Justin Mason, joining us here in just a tad bit to talk about all of the stuff and the things going on around the baseball world. And per usual, we've had a good little run of doing this. I feel like between the Thursday show and the Monday show, we've got some type of worldly event happening in our world, at least. We have some little ITL type thing that's going on. And the most recent, it happened over the weekend on our radio show on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, where I attempted for us to get a viral tweet going. Spoiler alert, down. We went at the attempt. So we had, I don't even know how it popped up, but we got on this, Bogman, where we were kind of talking about the best damn sports show, period. I don't know how we got there, but I always loved that show. And we were kind of going through it, and then there's that meme that's going around right now. It's not even a meme. It's just like a trendy like Twitter thing where it's like paste your favorite players in every sport and all that. And we were kind of like, oh, that could be like ours. And we'll do that with the best damn sports show. And let's have a new cast. So on the air, we were going through it. On the break, I solidified who mine was. I put a tweet out. And within minutes, as we were on the air, I had said Tom Arnold has to return to the best damn sports show, and I recast everybody else. We got a tweet, we got a retweet and a like from Tom Arnold, and we were like, "Let's go! Let's here we go! This is it! This is where we're going to start."
We can be in the stupids too.
Just for like, yeah. I mean, I was thinking about how I'll be best friends with him, just like who's my guy, Gregory Arendt?
Yeah, Jeffrey Arendt.
Jeffrey Arendt. Yeah, sorry.
You don't know his name?
Me and him haven't chatted
recently.
It's
not a famous guy.
Yeah, right. Oh, that's kind of the bit, Bogman. I didn't even think about that. It's me talking to a celebrity every week. And
yeah,
it was Jeffrey
Arendt. Like a B celebrity.
I mean, that's being fair.
I mean, that's being nice to Jeffrey. I mean, Tom Arnold might be, you know, like
a
B plus.
Nah, he's like a B. Jeffrey Arendt is like a C.
Maybe. I mean, Tom Arnold's still like, I mean, he's more of a stand-up comedian.
Did you know, actually, I had an interaction with Tom Arnold besides this one? One time.
Oh, did you?
I used to work.
You guys move in together?
Nope. But I used to work for the Clear Channel. It was a sports radio station in Phoenix. This was like 11 years ago. And it was a big building, bunch of elevator goes up five floors. All five of the floors were the radio station. And we were on the fourth floor.
Five whole floors.
I know. That's a big radio station. Well, I mean, a lot of radio stations are like an office at this point. But I hit the elevator. The elevator opens up. Tom Arnold out the elevator. And he's short. And I got to tell you, I have mad respect for the retweet I got from Tom Arnold. The single-handedly biggest head I've ever seen in my life. I mean, he was like ODOK from the Marvel Universe, the big head guy
like
that sits
Juice
on
Williams.
The thing. Yeah, dude. It was the biggest head I'd ever seen in my life. And it was one of those things where I was kind of going to the elevator and he was just coming right out. And I mean, I don't think he gave me one look whatsoever. I mean, little did he know 11 years later we were having an interaction.
He was like, that's the guy from the elevator. I'm going to retweet him.
Oh, yeah. He's like, I remember that guy. That guy that I didn't look at. And I just walked right out the elevator for. Yeah, that was my interaction with Tom Arnold coming into the radio station. And then now we got a retweet. We started getting likes in. We're like, here we go. Here we go. And
wah, nothing.
We didn't go
I think like two people did it. I mean, I forgot to do it after the show. I had some stuff to do. And then I did it the next day. So did you catch mine? Like my recast?
I did. Yeah, I mean, this whole thing was much like our career. You know, it's like, hey, it's a great idea. And then it's gone. and it's a fleeting it's a fleeting hope that anything successful will happen of any of it. Yeah, yours was you had for Chris Rose, Seth Meyers, for John Sally, Chris Webber. The new Michael Irving was Randy Moss. The new essentially baseball guy for Dibbler Crook was Sean Casey, and your new Tom Arnold was Rob Riggle. Mine was my new Rose was Andrew Siciliano. My new Sally was Shaq. My new Irving was Ocho Cinco. I also had Sean Casey, but I said Tom Arnold is coming back. And
back.
You know, 30 or something. People liked it. A couple retweets on it. You know, little old Tommy Arnold gave a little bit of love to it, but it died on the feet of our Twitter feeds right then and there. So no love for it, even though we tried. Best damn sports show.
Yeah, couldn't get it done. I'm just glad that you finally renamed your stupid fantasy team in my home league. It was the best the best damn team period or whatever.
Oh, I had that for probably
500 years.
Yeah, at least 8 years I was the best damn team period. Because that was all that Yahoo would fit. I think I even had to like have no spaces in between it too.
Yep. It was annoying.
Yeah, so a lot of stuff going down. By the way, if you're listening to this on Monday is the MLB draft. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. So if you want to maybe get a little bit caught up, Prospect One, 3 straight weeks we have had college MLB draft coverage. I shouldn't just say college, it's high school as well. But it's MLB draft coverage from the fantasy perspective. And then I just put a tweet out, and I'll have it out on Monday as well, where it's all in one tweet. So we have the Jim Callis episode where we kind of broke down the first round. I had the episode with Chris Blessing from Baseball HQ. We had Jason Waddell from Prospects 1500 and Eddie Almaguer, also from Prospects 1500 and Fake Teams. I think he does 1500 as well. Those guys were scouting reports. And then the most recent one was James Anderson from RotoWire, where we broke down our top 20 fantasy prospects from this MLB draft. And I was also on their show over on SiriusXM, the RotoWire show, on Saturday. So if you want to hear me talking with them about some of the college guys and some other prospects, you can go listen to that Saturday's RotoWire on demand over at SiriusXM. Are you excited about the MLB draft? Are you going to do a 3-day live video just like you did on for football?
No, I will not. Maybe you can do that. That's fine. The MLB draft is a bit much for me, so I will not be live streaming the MLB draft because, like, at least in the NFL drafts, like, oh, these guys are drafted. Yeah, they're probably going to play this year. You know, the MLB drafts, like, all right, these guys are drafted. You can forget about them for at least 2 years.
Yeah, I mean,
like,
it's usually
the very best is 2 years.
I mean, it's rare. You know what? I'm going to see if I can. How many MLB draftees played the
same year?
Wasn't
the last one Brandon Finnegan?
Let's see. What are the can you go? Oh, man, maybe this isn't going to be here. This is an amazing question we should have thought of beforehand. I want to know who the guys were because I feel like Mark Pryor was one of those guys. Let's see.
Well, Finnegan did it because they said he that's why I was such a big Finnegan fan. He was so good in college, and he played he got drafted by the Royals, and he played in the College World Series, and then, you know, whatever, 4 months later, he played in the World Series.
All right, I don't know how relevant this is because, well, I mean, this is Wiki. Is not Brandon Finnegan that went
people
straight.
People don't lie.
Because this is list of baseball players who went directly to the major leagues.
Well, he played in the minors for a little bit.
Because that doesn't count. That's what I'm saying. Who went? There's a short list.
Oh, I thought you were just talking about, like, came up the same year they were drafted.
That's a good question, too. That is definitely one. And that's one of those, like, I think it was a Chris Sale type of thing where, you know, they just go into relief and they kind of come straight up. Bogman,
right.
Only 2 players since 2000 have been drafted and went straight to a major league team. Can you even guess?
Straight to the team.
One player played for ASU and one player played for Cal. One player was in 2000.
Barry Bonds?
2000, Bogman.
Oh, okay.
I
didn't hear you say that.
Yeah, two players.
I think a Bonds played at ASU.
Two players since 2000 have gone straight to the major leagues. One in 2000 was from Cal, and the one in 2010 was from ASU. One a pitcher, one a hitter. That's a lot of hints I gave.
Yeah, and I still don't think I'm going to get it.
Wow, there's a lot of ASU. I'm looking at this list. No, that's a good one. He was actually from Chaparral here in Arizona. You know what? You want to know what's really interesting? If people give two craps about this, since 1970, there have been 3 players from ASU that have gone straight to the major leagues.
I don't know who they are. Name them.
All right. In 2010, Arizona State pitcher Mike Leake went to the Cincinnati Reds. Okay. And here's a flashback. In 2000, San Diego Padres outfielder Bogman, last shot?
I don't know.
Xavier Nady.
Xavier Nady.
Yeah, straight to the majors. And since there's only three others since 1990, you had Darren Dreifert from Wichita State, went to the Dodgers, Chan Ho Park, I'm not sure if that counts, to the Dodgers as well in 1994, and Ariel Prieto to the Oakland A's in 1995. Other relevant names, Jim Abbott for the Angels, the California Angels, Michigan, 1989. Bob Horner was ASU, 1978 to the Braves. Dave Winfield, 1973 from Minnesota to the Padres. And we're good. We're good on there. Catfish Hunter, 1965 to the Kansas City Athletics. That caught me off guard. So there you go. Those are some players that went straight. Guess what? Spoiler alert. Nobody's going to go straight to the majors from this draft class. All of that said.
Who was the last guy that could have? Bryant?
No. That's a good question. It's usually pitchers.
Yeah, it usually is pitchers.
I'm trying to think of who. You know who would have been one I would have thrown out to you? A.J. Puck. But yeah, because he was a pretty lockdown pitcher at Florida. It's going to be one of those 3 or 4 year starters. I mean, usually they're 3 years unless they're a redshirt sophomore.
Wasn't Bauer only in the minors for 1 year?
Bauer came up pretty quick from UCLA. I thought Mark Pryor was one of those guys, though. I'm obviously off. I don't know why I thought Mark Pryor was one of those guys, but it's hard to say. At the end of the day, it's really hard to say, like, who are these dudes? I think a lot of people felt Scherzer was one of those. I mean,
he came up real quick.
Yeah.
And that's another, you know, like you mentioned before, a lot of those guys, they'll come up just to relieve. You know?
Well, you know,
and that's what Finnegan did.
Jim Callis, there's a couple really cool stories in the episode 70 of Prospect One that Jim Callis tells. We talk about the Josh Bell situation. If you remember, Josh Bell, like, wasn't going to sign.
Right.
And he talks about the inner workings behind that. But one we talked about was Max Scherzer and how scouts were so worried because he had this really, really prominent head tilt that they were like, get him in and get him going while you still can. And then look at him now. And that was kind of a conversation about this kid at Florida right now,
and
Brady
Steven
Singer.
Steven Strasburg was indestructible. Right?
Yeah. Well, and part of that conversation comes from the guy who potentially is going to go number one, this kid named Casey Mize, because he's like a 60 on every category. And he throws a splitter, like a graded out 60 plus splitter. And
right
there's
now.
Yeah, there's a contingency of people that are like, you know, you might kind of want to get that up as soon as you can. But if it's the Tigers don't really have a need for that. You know what I mean?
Right.
So
yeah.
MLB draft, that's fun. That was fun kind of looking down the last players that had done any of those type of things. So check it out, Prospect One. You can get some draft coverage and make sure just to be paying attention out there for show. We asked a debate question on the last episode, Mr. Bogman, because last week what we did was we talked about the top five, the top five wrongest of wrong industry predictions.
Yes.
For the preseason to now. And
I haven't looked at the poll. I feel like Otani's going to wind up winning that one because, like I said before, you put his name in something. And
so here's what it was.
And he usually wins.
We had five, but we narrowed it down to the top three because absolutely horrible listeners. Nobody participated. So we had to choose all of them. People are trying to participate for this coming weeks, which is the five best predictions. So please send us in your responses, ballbagitinthisleague.com, or tweet us. Is it the Welsh Bogman Sports? Let us know so we can put that in this coming week's episode. But the top three were the worst takes were Judge won't repeat. Stanton's New York dominance, you know, everyone was like, he's going to be, you know, and then Otani's fantasy success. Everyone kind of crapped on.
How are those people about Stanton?
Stanton, yeah, that's like upper New York talk, right? Maybe lower. I don't really, you know, I don't understand.
By the Adrianic Mountains or whatever it was. We could not have gotten more crap about mispronouncing these mountains.
Guess what? We got more interaction about screwing up Adirondack. We got more people tweeting us about Adirondack than we did about the five worst predictions in the preseason.
Yeah,
UA
bring
holes.
Your ass out here and try to pronounce stuff. That's what I want.
Yeah, Noah was like, I want a half-speed recording.
Try to pronounce all these cactuses. Give
well, he, Noah, Noah Dowdy, I'm going to screw up his name, said he wants a half-speed recording of us trying to say Adirondack, which is probably wrong. But yeah, we were talking about that. Come out here and look at the spelling of Saguaro, and people were like, what's that, Saguaro?
I literally had a person say Sagiharo.
That's, I mean.
We're over there on Sagiharo.
What's that? Is that a...
I don't know why they sounded like, you know, a redneck from the East Coast.
Hey, but... is that a chola? Like, it's choya. it's choya, buddy. Be careful when you say it chola. It's a choya.
Yeah. Don't say that too loud.
Yeah, I know. So we get it, and thank you for all letting us know that we're idiots.
Dumb. We understand.
Yeah, okay. At least we all embrace it. Okay, so back to the poll. The poll was what I just said. The winner was Giancarlo Stanton's New York dominance with 40% of the vote said that was the worst industry-wide take as we go into June. That was the worst preseason take going into June of how dominant Stanton was. But Shohei Ohtani did close the gap, I guess, if you close it, 34%. Judge got 27% of the vote. So it's pretty even, but Stanton obviously took that, and that's what people are sitting on, that was the worst take in the preseason, which
we both agreed. I think the one that we agreed on was Judge.
Yeah, 100%. That's why I'm shocked. Yeah. That's why I'm shocked about it, because Judge to me was like, that was the one. You ask anybody, and every single person was like, yeah, no, he's not going to repeat. He's not going to repeat.
Well, he's so bad in the second half. Like, I'm definitely one of those people. I thought, then no way. Like, he kind of got figured out in the second half, but he's just turning it on.
And well,
like we said, we'll have to wait for the rest of the season to see if he's just a first half player.
Yeah, and it's funny because where Stanton was going, Judge should have gone based on what he did last year. But I mean, based on what Stanton did too, like he warranted where
they were fairly close too. A lot. We had a couple of mock drafts where it was somebody pairing him up, to get all that power.
What do you think was the best or worse logic, however you want to look at it? Because if you look at the logic, Judge did what he did in New York. He just only had one season of doing it.
This is In This League Overtime. Some of the best from Chris Welsh and Scott Bogman on the In This League Podcast Network.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
You're listening to In This League Overtime. Some of the best from the In This League Podcast Network. Find all their shows and more of what you've heard at InThisLeague.com.
Was that the better logic to say he can't repeat, or was the better Stanton did what he did last year with the Marlins and then comes to New York and they're like, well, that logic says he's going to be better. Like, what is the worst logic?
I think that was probably the worst logic of and I mentioned this when we talked about it last week when, you go to a different league and you're seeing all new pitchers. So you kind of have to adjust. And I think that might have been the worst logic, that just because he's in the ballpark that favors home runs, New York is in Colorado. If he'd gone to Colorado, then okay, maybe it makes way more sense as far as ballpark factors. But that was kind of the thing, was ballpark factors, was everybody thought it was going to go crazy there. And you could also say there's flawed logic in Ohtani, because, we saw him look so bad as a hitter in spring training that we thought there's no way he's going to be a successful hitter.
Yeah.
And well, he's successful with everything.
It's interesting what you're saying, too, because like we just asked the basic question, what was the worst take? But then if you go behind the reasoning of all of it, like it becomes actually a more fascinating question, because you're right, like what you just said about Ohtani, like everyone based Ohtani's demise off of spring training. But
and that's why I like to, in the preseason, I think the biggest thing is to know why, like basically why a guy can be good and why he can suck.
Yeah.
You know, and if you're willing to look at both those things and still take the risk on the guy, then you more likely believe in the he's going to be good again.
Yeah, so. Yeah. I thought it was an interesting debate. So, we want to, pair it out for the next episode. We'll obviously talk to you guys about the other end of it, where we do the best five. I know what mine is, my number one is. I got to kind of circulate in my mind what the others are. Love to hear from you guys, so I hope you guys reach out to us. Is it the Welsh Bogman Sports as a tweet? You can just, in some way, use a hashtag or something, say this is for the show, or hopefully we'll obviously know it. Or just send it into the ballbag@inthisleague.com. Bogman will kind of decipher those emails out. And in this next episode, we're going to go through that. I think I'd like to even take a look at maybe some of the ranks. Maybe we'll take a look at just some of the overall ranks through June. Maybe we'll take a look at some of the really hot and cold players overall, because it is fascinating when you look at guys that are being so successful. Scooter Gennett is another one of those players.
Gennett.
I feel like I'm going back and forth all the time. Is it Gennett or Jeanette?
I'm just with you.
Yeah, Jeanette. You son of a bitch, you goddamn bastard. Jesus. You're the worst. Yeah, Adirock. Yeah, Adirall. Yeah, mother.
Whoa. Yeah. I don't think you can say that.
Adirock? What does that mean?
What are we adding a rock to? A rock
pile? I don't know.
Pile?
I don't have that word in front of me, the East Coast thing, the mountain.
Neither do I.
The people that want to... Why are people so like uptight about mountains, by the way? People are also uptight about that. What was that whole thing with the DMV thing? And everyone's like, they're like, it's a district of...
Delaware, Maryland, Virginia. Yeah, I get it.
One time, a long, long time ago, I swear to God, we're going to talk more fantasy here. Bogman and I did a duo interview on a radio station, and it was in New York. And it was just a really nice guy, though the guy got my number, and he put me on a text for 2 years, and I was just so – I just didn't have it in me. I was, like, trying to block it, but it was – for some reason, it was just too difficult. And then finally, I did it, and what I had to do was I had to call the guy so his number was saved in my call log and then block him. Right after I called him, he called me back and was like, hey, man, blah, blah. And I was like, oh, my God, and I blocked everything he had. That's beside the story. This guy had us on his radio station in New York, and he had a couple questions for us. And then he just randomly was just like, what do you guys think about, James Dolan?
All these New York things.
We're like, what do you think about what James Dolan's doing? And we're like, what do you mean? And he's like, well, just what he's doing. I'm like, you got to be specific, man. And it was just like, you're asking us a New York question, and we're on the West Coast.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Not everyone lives in New York.
Yeah. Gennett. Right. Which one is it?
Gennett.
Okay, so guys like Gennett.
Think of Marty Jannetty.
Yeah, now I got it, but stop screwing with me. This whole thing happened with a pronunciation on the Prospect Show, and someone was like, you need to tell this person that it's this way, and I was like, I know, because when bad pronunciation comes in, my brain is like, was that right? And then I start to screw it up even more. But Gennett, Markakis, guys like that have been really good through this part of the season. And, when we came into May, we kind of had this conversation, hey, cool, is this enough of a sample size to believe in it? You come into June and you have to start asking yourself, how real is this? Like, how real is this now? Like, you got 2 months, you got a third of the season through. And then you look at some of the bad performances. I want to talk about Cody Bellinger in a little bit when Justin comes on, because that is a disaster show right now. Even though his stats aren't the worst that they could be, it's not good. And there's a few of those guys.
The averages. So.
Yeah. There'd be a few of those guys that are looming out there that ain't good. So you guys know the drill. Participate on the questions, because that's what we'll do. We'll do the debate, the top five. We'll do a little bit of rank conversation, and then your questions in that next episode. All right, let's talk about some headline topics. There's some things that are looming, and then we will get to our interview. So let's go.
In this league.
Oh, I remember.
I love it.
In this league.
Oh, I remember.
Yeah, I remember that.
All right. What do you think I needed? Do you think I needed more than Tom Arnold for that thing to go viral? I needed one other person. I thought I was really strategic with Ocho Cinco. I thought, I get Chad Johnson and Tom Arnold, like, we might be able to go.
Who's Chad Johnson? I don't know who that is.
Chad Ocho Cinco, baby. They need one more, or is it just it's failed? It's a bull crap idea. Welsh, you're dumb. Don't say Adderock or Adderall, and just move on to talking about Vlad Jr. and why he has to be hurt.
Yeah, I don't know. You know what? If I knew what could go viral and what couldn't, we wouldn't be doing this. So I have no idea what made it wrong.
That's a great point. It was from me. That was why.
Yeah.
100%.
It wasn't trending with housewives on Facebook, so it's not going to go viral.
Yeah. Or just like a popular
person. Next time when you think about doing that, put on a Chewbacca mask and laugh until you can't breathe.
Mm, I would do that. For some reason, I would give anything to see you do that.
Don't put on a Chewbacca mask and laugh?
Yeah.
And give me some mushrooms.
Yeah. Wow, man. You turned the dial to 10 on that one. All right.
I'm just saying, you know, you get that crazy Joker laugh. So.
I think we get you you drinking a little bit and you'll be good.
Yeah, maybe.
A little bit of that fireball. So this is kind of a duo piece of conversation. Josh Donaldson back on the DL. They say he should be back Friday when he's eligible to return. When that went down, I mean, we all looked at ourselves and we were like, let's go, Vlad Jr. Like, this was the slow motion ejaculation clip.
I've never seen baseball Twitter ejaculate like it has.
Oh!
With Ronald
with the word.
That's what was happening.
I turned it to 10.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying, that's a slow motion clip
there. And people who were saying, like, Welsh, you're right. It's worse when Bogman says it. Yeah, okay. Well, I'm not going to say it now, and I bet you it was pretty bad.
Say it.
I'm not going to say it.
Just say the word and see how worse it is when you say it.
Nope, not going to say it. What were we talking about? Vlad Jr.
Ejaculation.
Is hurt. Jesus. Josh Donaldson is supposed to come back.
But we thought, like, this was the opportunity. The guy's hitting over 400. Everyone is going nuts. The Fisher Cats did the LeBron meme of like, J.R. Smith, come on, he's 19. Like, everyone wants him up. I want him up. What?
Welsh.
What? Why?
If they knew Donaldson wasn't going to be back, you know, he wasn't going to be gone long, he's just coming up on Friday, you don't want Vlad to come back up and then go back down, do you?
Man, but what is truly keeping Vlad Jr. down? Tell
Tim Miza or whatever his name is.
Is Randall Grichuk? Who is keeping Vlad Jr. down? Kendrys Morales? Get the
only
f-
one that
out
could
of here.
Is, the only one that could is Yengervis Solarte.
Ugh. I mean, yeah, that's a good point. But he's a utility player. He's a utility guy. Vlad Jr.
Utility guy with 12 bombs already.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you and me love
good,
Vlad. We chirp him in spring training. The most sad thing that I have because he's gone is in spring training, you and I can't be in the front row just screaming at Solarte, and he always looks over at us when we do that, and we don't get that anymore. We love Solarte. We always do that to weird players. Like, we'll just hone in and then they like it, but we don't get that anymore. So I like him, but I wish the team could give us a real answer. Like, where are the sources? How come we always have sources, and this Vlad Jr. situation, I don't hear any sources talking about why is he truly down? It does not make sense to me.
Well, now he's down because he got hurt.
Well, yeah, so. He got hurt. What ended up happening?
I think he strained his groin. He was running down to first after, Bo Bichette hit a double.
Left leg, not his groin. Yeah. I know we're all thinking about our groins when we think about Vlad Guerrero Jr., but it was his left leg.
Well, I just, I saw the report last night. He was running to first. He hit the bag and he came up limping, and they had to help him off. So,
I mean, that's like identical of our boy Ronald Acuna.
Oh, God. I hope it wasn't that bad.
Yeah.
That,
I mean,
that Ronald
be
Acuna
back.
One looked disgusting.
But he's back. I mean, he's
that
coming
back.
That
dude is super flexible. I mean, that's all you can
well,
say.
Well, I mean, you know, when you're an athlete flexible. Like him.
Yeah, but I mean, I see NFL players do that stuff all the time.
Can you imagine?
Like,
dude, can you imagine? We had a guy when we played our competitive softball that hit the base like that, and he, like, tore his ankle and didn't play another game the entire season. Can you imagine landing on a base like that, like you right now?
No, my leg would break in half. My top half is so heavy. It's my bulbous gut. No way.
Well, Vlad Jr.
break right in half like a toothpick.
He's no sooner coming up. You know, Josh Donaldson's going to be back. He has to recover from this injury. It's starting to look like, you know, they may hold this till July, man. Yeah, I still think June is an opportunity. I'm still holding. I don't think people should be looking to trade. I have seen a couple anxious people that have wanted to move him. Don't do it. It's not worth it. And, you know, we got a Vlad Jr. based question that we'll kind of talk about in the interview portion that we kind of brought up on the radio show. So that's one big disappointment Mookie Betts to the DL. Our guy, number one stunner on the DL.
Zero shares.
You know what? Zero shares for me too.
Yeah, I mean, is that true? It's not because we dislike Mookie Betts. He's a first round pick. If you weren't picking around the spot where you could get Mookie Betts, you just didn't get him.
Yeah, so. I think that's what it was. I'm pretty sure it was. Number one player in fantasy. He though that shouldn't last too long. Him and Mike Trout. As I'm looking at this, I don't know what Trout did on Sunday. Sunday he went 0-for-3. Trout had 19 homers. Betts had 17. They both had 37 RBIs in a row.
In a row?
Both have 13 stolen bases. Mookie Betts has three more runs. And Betts is hitting .359 to Mike Trout's .313. So those are the one and two players. Mookie Betts just, you know, doing all the proof that last year was an anomaly and not the new norm. But the injury stuff is a major concern. What do you think on timetable? Your idea. Because he's hoped to be activated on June 8th.
I think it won't be that much longer than that. Maybe, you know, give it at best another week. You know, right. He should probably be fine.
Yeah, Mookie will be fine. Don't worry about that. Matt Harvey, fine.
Yeah, I mean, he turned into a pumpkin a little bit. 5 runs, 4 earned, 5 innings pitch against San Diego, though. But they also are beating up, as we speak, Luis Castillo again. And Luis Castillo is just that might be, at the end of the year, number one most people's take.
That was 5 on our list, right?
Yeah, it was. It had to be a little bit lower because I don't think everybody thought that. But it was one of those bad takes. But this is what I want everybody to do.
Okay.
I want everyone listening to tweet at Is It The Welsh?
No.
Your all-star game lineups with players that probably shouldn't get in or the Welsh just wouldn't want in. Like, we got in a fight on the radio because you said, Nick Markakis is not an all-star. Oh, okay. Well, he's like fourth in the league in hits. He's an all-star.
You know what that is? That proves how poorish the play has been in the NL in the outfield.
No, it's just he's good.
100%. 100%. That shows how bad.
I want Nick Markakis and Yanger Solarte to be starting in the all-star game just so the Welsh has to hate it.
I should
hate it more if Stanton is starting, though, because those guys are at least playing well.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. It just like the all-star game, the fan voting. I know people have fun with it, but dude, it's just not. These guys are just sitting there clicking. People are making bots out there to make sure guys are getting voted in. Nomar Garciaparra made it one time. It's just, I think it's a joke. And I'm looking here. Not that fantasy is the 100% relevance to, you know, like what the outfield looks like.
Right, right. I mean, there's fielding involved.
I mean, top 15 outfielders in at least in fantasy. I mean, there's like three guys in the NL, or four guys in the NL. AJ Pollock is hurt. Markakis is one of them, hitting .329. His other peripherals are, and then it's Charlie Blackman and Bryce Harper.
Yeah.
It's just a joke.
So Markakis, Harper, and Blackman. That's good.
It's not. Is that an all-star game you want to watch?
Sure. If they deserve to make it, they should get in, man.
Yeah. Okay. Trevor Cahill, Wade Miley. Let's get those guys in.
I'm not saying that, like, this is a different thing, though. Like, every team having one all-star is, okay, that's kind of a ripoff because, you know, the Marlins are going to have an all-star this year. So, but...
You know what would be cool?
If a guy's deserving of it, even for a half year, he's deserving of it.
You know what would be cool? If there was some way, some type of platform that you could get some type of an extra credit. Like, so you know how there's the week of the all-star game, you don't set any lineups. How cool would it be if there was something along the lines of like you getting the most all-stars on your fantasy team that made it and like stats counted, or there was this like extra bonus, you know, top three teams with the most all-stars on their roster on their fantasy team. Like, wouldn't that be kind of cool if there was some relevance to it?
If that was a thing, Kyle Bearclaw would have been picked up way before he was named the closer.
But but that would be kind of cool. That would be like an extra little wrinkle. It's almost like, you know, there's some people do leagues
that's
where
worse,
they run.
You know what? Like, getting credit for guys making the All-Star game when there's a fan vote for your fantasy team is worse than fans being able to vote for the All-Star team.
This
is like a trickle-down effect.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm trying to find a way for me to give two S's about the All-Star game, and I can't find it. So
the Home Run Derby's fun. Belt had an appendectomy, so he's going to miss a little bit of time. I think Adam Dunn missed 6 games. So this is a fairly quick recovery.
Dude, when I had my gallbladder taken out, people were like, oh, I went to work the next day. Dude, I was out like a month.
Well, I mean, couldn't walk right. Professional athlete.
I was like Asa Akira. I couldn't walk right for like 3 weeks.
Well, also, you know, you waited until you were almost dead to have your gallbladder.
Actually, mine actually stopped functioning, so that was the problem.
Right.
So, yeah.
So you waited until you almost died and you couldn't eat anymore and stuff. So that's probably had more to do with
that
it.
That did happen.
The Orioles are looking at Hanley Ramirez, the Welsh. I don't understand that because they have Chris Davis, Pedro Alvarez, and Mark Trumbo. So.
I like that. I like that. I mean, it makes no sense whatsoever, but I like that.
I mean,
that.
But you have Hanley. You don't want him to be on the Orioles.
Yeah, I do. I want him to be in that park. Absolutely.
But he's not going to play every day.
He's going to play. Chris Davis is the worst. No, you don't play Chris Davis. Chris Davis is the worst. He plays over Chris Davis.
I guarantee you. If he signs with Hanley, he's going to have days. Or if Hanley signed with the Orioles, he's going to have days off, random days off.
I don't see another place that he could go where he's going to be able to get consistent time. Anyway,
Kansas City.
Why would Kansas City spend money to bring him?
I don't know. So they can trade him in a month.
No one's going to buy him. No one's going to want him.
Maybe.
No, the Angels maybe. If the Angels wanted to put Hanley at first. Over Valbuena, or you know, that gives them some flexibility.
Well,
but I,
you know,
yeah, no, you're right. But to that point, though, I don't even know if you're going to get more playing time in with the Angels than you would Baltimore. I think he could be an almost everyday regular in Baltimore.
I mean, he should be, and I agree with you with that.
Well, like, Mariners,
he absolutely should be. But Ryan Healy? Mariners wouldn't be bad. I like that one.
Yeah.
In this league, overtime. Want more? Go to inthisleague.com.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things, just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge. Dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
In this league, overtime. Want more? Go to inthisleague.com. It's In This League.
Got what plants crave. It's got electrolytes.
What are electrolytes? Do you even know? It's what they used to make
In This League.
I'm the smartest guy in the world. Says who?
IQ test you took in prison. Brought to you by Carl's Jr.
All right, we're getting at it. Justin Mason on the line from Friends with Fantasy Benefits and co-host of Sleeper and the Bus. You can find him on Twitter at Justin Mason FWFB. Justin, what's going on, man?
Oh, it's just another beautiful day in paradise. I'm glad to be on.
Yeah, we were talking about the Golden State. We got your neck of the woods, my former neck of the woods. You got a little basketball going on. Not so much baseball, but, you know, it's okay. Not that we do either. We're losing a whole bunch.
The Giants are doing okay. They're hanging in it.
The whole division sucks right now. So actually, now that it's not May, the Diamondbacks are good again. So I like that.
Just on, off, off months and whatever. Is this an off year for the Giants or an on year? It doesn't matter.
I mean, it's technically an even year, and the fact that they're actually even in the race in the division, considering the amount of injuries they've had, I think is, you know, fairly impressive. I mean, they've lost Bumgarner, they lost Cueto, they lost Samardzija.
All my voodoo dolls are working this year.
Yeah, so unfortunately, it's, you know, like you said, that division is a little bit garbage right now. So I think any team outside of San Diego could emerge victorious and I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, I buy that. What's going on in your world? What should people be on the lookout for? You doing the pods with Spore? You got all your stuff over, with the Friends of Fantasy Benefits. What's going on?
Man, I'm super busy these days. I write 4 to 7 times a week at FanGraphs, about 5 times a week at Fantasy Alarm. Got the Great Fantasy Baseball Invitational that's hosted by Fantrax. On the Tout Wars Hour on Sundays on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. And then all my stuff for Friends of Fantasy Benefits and writing over there. The main kind of owner that kind of handles a lot of the behind-the-scenes stuff. Do 2 to 3 podcasts there and with Spore and Colette for Sleeper in the Bus. So it's busy, and football hasn't even started. Like, this is just baseball.
I did see someone complaining the other day. They're like, man, I tried to switch to a different podcast to get away from Justin, and he was the guest on it. I just can't get away from Justin. So, yeah, you're doing a lot.
It's the industry.
You know, I'm Catholic, and so I've learned from then that I need to spread my seed everywhere, you know, impregnate the entire fantasy industry. you know, I tweeted out the other day that I'm only 17 more jobs away from doing this full time.
What was Star-Lord's dad's name, the Welsh?
Oh, I don't
Ego.
Remember. Oh, yeah, yeah, Ego. Yeah, Kurt Russell, Ego. Exactly.
That's Justin Mason, is Ego.
Just a big expanding
exactly
planet.
That's what my wife says.
Yeah. Okay. Just a big expanding planet. I can totally buy into that. All right. Well, follow him on Twitter at Justin Mason FWFB. We got a lot to cover, and we're gonna kick it old school and do some old school player debates, which we haven't done in, I mean, I don't even know how long, but we'll do that. Justin, we got multiple things to cover on our show, on the FNTSY show on Saturday. We were going. This was Saturday, right, Boggs? When we were doing this,
it was Saturday.
Because we were having this whole conversation about Clayton Kershaw, and if people want to go back and listen, I've had a couple people hit me up about just Kershaw trades, and I'm kind of saying, hey, go back and listen to that because it's a really good thing because we spent a whole segment on it. We kind of went through this process of trying to figure out, you know, how are you as a listener, or we're going to ask you specifically, how are you going to manage Kershaw, the time being missed, and where that value is placed. We had put some pitchers against him, but something we kind of came across was a player like Vlad Jr. And obviously the injury hadn't happened, and you know he'll recover fine in the next couple of days from the injury. But you don't like rookies. You're not into injured pitchers. So how would you balance this one? If you owned Clayton Kershaw, would you trade Clayton Kershaw away for a Vlad Jr. who just maybe presumably could be up in 2 weeks or something like that? Or are you going to kind of stick to Clayton Kershaw because his value could not be any lower?
Oh, man.
Redraft, by the way. This is a redraft question.
Yeah, because I think even a keeper, you know, scenario, this becomes a really difficult question to answer. And as an argument that we had a little bit on the Friends of Fantasy Benefits staff chat earlier today, because people are saying, yeah, no, I'm going to take Vlad over the Vados and over the Kershaws of the world next year. I don't even know if I can do that yet. And it's not that I hate rookies. I just hate trying to predict timetables because
you hate young players. I mean,
No, I mean, you know.
Well, it's timetables and every rookie has a timetable, right?
But we just don't know. Like, had I truly believed that Ronald Acuna was going to be up when he was going to be up, I would have been in with a lot of the hype because I love young players. It's just a matter of I don't want to have to wait, especially in this day and age when injuries are just so rampant. It's so hard in the majority of your formats to keep that dead roster spot on, you know, and especially I play in deep leagues. And so it's really difficult to roster a guy that you have no idea when they're going to come up. And the problem with Vlad Jr. is, when's he going to come up? Because by all accounts, he should be here already, right? I mean, he's just lighting the world on fire, doing things we've never seen other players do in Double A. They haven't moved him to Triple A yet, much less to the majors. And he may skip Triple A because that seems to be in vogue nowadays. But would it surprise me if he's up tomorrow? It wouldn't surprise me if he's up tomorrow. Would it surprise me if he's not up at all this year?
So this sounds like you're sticking with Kershaw in this one.
I think you have to. I'm not going to like beat anybody up if they don't. But I think at the end of the day, we're talking about a guy who can be the best player in fantasy when he's right. You're going to have to wait at least a month to find out. But I think there is a legitimate shot that we don't even see Vlad Jr. up until September. Because what do the Blue Jays have, you know, where's the incentive for them other than to sell tickets?
Well, I mean, I see where you're going with that. There's a fan base question. There's a jersey sale question. There's a marketability question. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of stuff that sits in there for the reality of baseball. But I get the logic of what you're saying. Okay, let's take Vlad Jr. out of it. He's a tough one to kind of crack right now, especially with the injury. Here was the original one I posed to Bogman, and we went to another level after. Knowing Kershaw, you don't have him for a month. Would you trade your Kershaw for a Charlie Morton, who's playing at an all-time high? He's playing incredible, but from a name and just kind of value perspective, I don't think anyone would be shocked if Charlie Morton fell off. So mm-hmm. would you trade your month lack of production and the risk that Kershaw holds to get a Charlie Morton now? Trade you a what was it, Bachman? Was my trade you a burger today? Gladly have a burger today and trade you twice. It's my cliche. I need my cliche book. I don't know what it is.
Go grab your cliche
book. I got it.
It was the Wimpy. I'll pay you for two hamburgers today tomorrow for a one hamburger.
Boy,
today.
That went well. Yeah, so Charlie Morton or Clayton Kershaw.
I think it's all contextual based on where your team's at today. If your team is, you know, stuck in the middle or even lower in the standings and you need statistics right now in order to, in your head-to-head league, to catch up in the standings or in your roto league to catch up in pitching, then I think you have to make that move. I think you got to trade away Kershaw and ride with Charlie Morton. I think if you're comfortably in first in a league, then I would probably, especially in your head-to-head formats, I'd roll the dice that Kershaw comes back and is okay, because he can be so dominant. And especially, I know you guys play a lot of head-to-head leagues. I know your listeners play a lot of head-to-head leagues. I want Kershaw for the playoffs, and so I'm going to roll the dice if I know I'm going to be in the playoffs that he's going to be there and healthy, and I can bank on elite stats and hopefully not lose out on a Charlie Morton, because he hasn't pitched 200 innings. I don't know, maybe if he's done it in his career.
Okay, I was just going to do the last one, Boggs, real quick, because this is the one where we both turned to say, like, okay, this was Bogman's comfortable line of trading away Kershaw. James Paxton. Does that do anything, or is it the exact same thing you just said about Charlie Morton exists? Because a lot of the same factors exist for James Paxton, though I think an overall better player. The injuries, the playing, you know, time, that type of stuff. Does it change any of that advice you just gave?
I think it's the exact same advice.
Okay.
So no, Jay. So you're just not really worried about this back injury because he's going to be out a month, and you think they're just giving him time to fully recover.
I mean, I'm worried. You've got to be worried with any sort of back injury like this, because we just don't, you know, backs aren't like a concrete science.
Right.
You know? And so there's obviously worry for me, but the upside of a Kershaw, when he's
you're just too hard-headed to flip him because of what you invested and because of how good he can be.
And not necessarily what I invested, because I definitely am a believer in, you know, I don't want to lose out on an investment, but I'm also ready to cut bait if there's no money to be made. But they're not shutting him down. They're not saying, okay, this is because, you know, in some regards, the Dodgers have something to gain right now by saying, okay, we're going to shut him down for the year and make sure he's healthy, because he's got an opt-out clause at the end of this season. So if they shut him down, they destroy his value in terms of opting out for the future and testing the market or making them give him a better contract. So, I mean, theoretically, if they wanted to, you know, make sure he doesn't opt out and they've got him under contract through 2020, they could just say, yeah, screw it. We're going to put you on the DL for the rest of the year. We're going to make sure you're healthy. And, I mean, who would really blame them? So I think they've got their eyes set on the championship. They think he's going to be okay at some point. And I'm going to put my faith in the team and that they're doing the right thing.
Well, there's one thing we can agree on. Dodgers aren't winning anything this year. I think, like all of us NL West people, will agree with that. I mean, I know they're only 2.5 games
out. I'm not willing to say that. I'm not willing
to say that. They're not winning anything ever. So
that division is just so bad that I don't know if I can say that. I mean, right now,
I think it's good.
They're one Machado trade away and then maybe another pitcher trade away from being like, hello.
In those minor leagues. I mean, I know, Chris, you do the Prospect One podcast. So, I mean, you know how strong their minor league system is. They have built that team without having to sacrifice very much in terms of their prospect talent. And there are going to be a ton of guys out on the trade market. And I think we're going to see guys go for a little bit cheaper than maybe we would expect them to based on what their names and past trade deadlines have looked like. So, like, would it surprise me if they just go, we're going to empty out our system? And we're going to try to go win another, you know, go win a championship. We were super close last year, especially if Kershaw is healthy at some point. You know, we'll know in a month before the trade deadline whether or not Kershaw is back to being himself.
Jesus, so. You guys got so serious. I was just giving the Dodger fans a bunch of crap here.
You're just trying to rile up the troops.
Yeah, they lost in seven games last year. I feel no sympathy because I'm a Diamondbacks fan. I was trying to rattle it up.
People get more mad about your system, and people get more mad about your Baltimore Ravens takes than they do Dodgers. I don't know. Dodgers fans,
they're West Coast fans. We were talking about this off air. They don't care.
Yeah.
Well, Dodgers fans notoriously leave early, so I doubt they're still listening to this.
They probably left the pod like 20 minutes ago for sure. They're like, oh,
they've
Giant
already left this podcast to be.
They're like, a Giants fan is Giants fan's gonna talk to two Diamondbacks fans. I'm out of here.
Yeah. All right, well, I'll move off of the Dodger fans here, Justin. I know that you're still drinking George Springer's bathwater, and that's, I mean, you have a shirt made up about it and everything. Like, it's funny and gross all at the same time. I want to know whose bath are you dipping a cup into now? Gross. Who else? Because there's got to be somebody else who you're like, you know what? That guy is really, really good. Like, who are you into right now?
I mean, I was early. I don't want to say like
I started the trend.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying that by any stretch of the imagination, but I think I was part of the early hype on Ozzie Albies. I think there were a lot of people in on that hype too. So I would definitely say I'm drinking his bathwater.
Eno Saris is the original bathwater drinker from
Ozzie. Yeah. I mean, and I was skeptical that he'd have this kind of power. I don't think anybody necessarily thought he'd have this kind of power this quickly. But I mean, I've been, you know, I've been on that bandwagon for a long time. I know Chris Stratton is the guy that my name gets thrown around the most with.
That's unfortunate.
Kyle Gibson's another one that my name gets thrown around with.
And, yeah, and that whole video made up.
Yeah, the dude who did that. What an awesome follow right there for him to put that together, because I never could have done that myself.
So are those like the main guy? Well, let me ask you this. Chris Stratton or Patrick Corbin rest of the season?
Well, obviously it's Patrick Corbin.
Okay.
I mean, I still have my concerns with Corbin.
I just want to know if you're like chugging that bathwater or if you're just sipping it.
Gross.
Yeah. For the most part, I'm still drinking the Springer bathwater. I don't know that anybody is going to pop up and really take on that kind of love that I had for him early on before he came up. And I was, you know, really, really leading the charge on him. But
who takes a bath anyway? Like, when was the last time you guys took a bath?
You know when a bath comes into play? When you're really sick. Like, I'm down for a bath when I'm really sick. Like, I got, like, one of those bad chills or I don't know. But, yeah, it's pretty few and far between. I'm way too tall for baths, too, so it's, like, it's
a
problem.
I'm a big guy, so fitting in a bathtub to begin with, you know, that can be pretty ugly. So.
Yeah, nothing is more awkward feeling. It's like it's like wearing a 2X and putting on a large. Like, you get in a bath and you're just like, I hope no one can ever see me. Like, this doesn't fit well.
Yeah, like sausage in its casing.
Like, the only reason you're getting in the bath is because the water is lubricating the sides and you can just kind of squeeze into it. And you're like, well, this is not enjoyable for five more minutes. So,
I think the last couple apartment complexes before this one didn't have a bathtub. Like, it was just a shower, you know. So in this one, I do have a bathtub. It is gigantic. I could fit two of me in it, I'll just never use it.
Okay, so, I'll try to fit two sometime.
You do it when you have kids, because you instead of having to, you know, especially a guy like me, and I'm sure Chris, this has got to be especially true for you being so tall. Like, it's so annoying to have to like reach into a bath, like be on your knees or be bent over at the waist to try to give a little kid a bath. And so sometimes it's just easier to jump on in the bath with a kid and be like, okay, we're going to treat this like the world's smallest pool.
Yeah, it's a whole situation. It's a problem. I don't mean to bring it back to the Dodgers, but there is a glaring thing that is going on, and we kind of teased it a little bit earlier in the show. Dave Roberts commented that the team isn't quite there on when he was asked if the team was considering sending Cody Bellinger down due to his struggles. He's hitting 180 in the month of May. How far off at all are you on Bellinger? I've got
this show. We're crapping on the Dodgers.
Yeah.
This is fun.
Well, I got a here or there for you right
what
after, but where are you on Bellinger right now? Where do you sit on him and his struggles?
You know, I was just talking about him kind of briefly earlier today on the Towers Hour with Lore. I was super concerned coming into the season because I felt he got exposed, that there were some holes in his swing and his approach that were really really shown during that playoff run when he struggled just so mightily. And I think we, as an industry in the fantasy community, get so excited about young talent and being on the next big thing that people really just blew him up, blew Rhys Hoskins up a little bit too high. And I think he needs to go down to AAA, but the Dodgers are just so beat up that they, who are they going to play? They're already playing Max Muncy. Like, who's that?
Yeah. Who is that?
Who is Max Muncy? By the way, yeah. we were an up away from phrasing there, but.
This was In This League Overtime. Some of the best from the In This League podcasts. Looking for more? Visit InThisLeague.com right now.